In Psalm 49, 7 and 8, David says some pretty profound things about wealth and the folly of wealth. He says, "Those who trust in their wealth and boast in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give God a ransom for him." And I think he means can give God a ransom for his brother with his money. His money, his gold and silver, can't buy another person of itself. And he goes on, "For the redemption of their life is costly, is very valuable." If you put your energy into building up wealth, reserves of money, that gold and silver, those bank accounts or whatever, cannot at all save anybody of themselves. Whereas the true value is in human life. It is human life which is ultimately valuable. And when he says in Psalm 49:8, "the redemption of their life is costly," he repeats that phrase when he's giving his advice to Solomon in Psalm 72, as it seems to me, the sort of coronation psalm for Solomon. And he says that Solomon, who he imagines will be the messianic ruler, will consider the soul or the life of people to be precious or costly. Psalm 72:14 uses the same word, same phrase. He's saying that Solomon would see the value of human life, that he would see that other people's life was the ultimate wealth. Other people's salvation is the ultimate wealth, and not your gold and silver. Now, sadly, Solomon didn't get it. He abused his people with whips. And the other time that David is associated with this idea of life is costly, life is precious, life is valuable, is when he spares the life of Saul. And Saul in 1 Samuel 26:21 says, "My soul was precious in your eyes." Very same phrase. My soul, my life, was costly to you. And when David then says, the problem with people who amass silver and gold and wealth is that they don't realize that all that wealth, it cannot redeem other people, because life is costly. Life is what is valuable. Particularly, I think he means eternal life. Redemption is the ultimate value. And that's why he wanted Solomon in Psalm 72 to go through all these things and realize that the life of people is costly, is precious. So what do we draw from that? Well, I would say this, that we take the conclusion that the greatest, if you like, accumulation of wealth is what you do for other people that counts towards their eternal redemption. Now, of course, one does need a certain amount of money at times to do that. And, I can understand people saying, well, I'm not a great evangelist, I shall save my money and give it to someone who can do the job. Well, if they do that, maybe that's, is their contribution. But I think the most valuable thing is if you personally can play a role in saving someone else's eternal life, because you perceive how precious life is, that you perceive how costly, how precious eternity is. You know, if you can persuade one person on this earth to accept Jesus Christ, to get baptized, and to walk in Christ all their lives, if you can do it for just one person, you know, that's fantastic. That is a wealth that you take beyond your grave. That is the wealth that lasts. And that's why somebody like Paul, you could say, was a wealthy soul. You know, he saved a lot of people. And his prayers and thinking were caught up, as we know from his letters, with the welfare and the spiritual path of those he baptized and converted. And so, as I say, it was with David. He came to realize this, that the fallacy of wealth of itself is that redemption of life, salvation of others, that is what is costly. And silver and gold of itself cannot do that. That's why he wants Solomon in Psalm 72 to realize that the redemption of life is costly. And he showed that really with Saul, even with the life of his enemy. He felt that that life was costly. He saw the preciousness of life. And that is, you know, how we should treat even our enemies. We all have enemies in our lives. That their salvation is very costly, and don't do anything that might jeopardize it.